Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning and welcome. Good to see y'all this morning. If you're joining us online, welcome. I'm Kevin, and we're glad that you're here. And I want to just start by acknowledging, and some of you were there this week, but I want to thank Pastor Margaret, who is in this service, actually. Pastor Margaret is in charge of our outreach ministries here at church. She's one of the pastors that does that. But this week, she and many of our volunteers were at the Rockingham County Fair, and they hosted what is called the Resting Place. This idea came about years ago when people were standing there, including one of our former pastors, Pastor Carey, and they thought, why don't we just create a place where people could just come and sit and have a drink? And then it became sit, have a drink, and charge your phone, and a baby-changing station. But we want to thank you publicly for all that you did to make sure that that happened, and it happened beautifully all week on a hot week. Thank you. Yeah. So, if you're new here today, I want to just explain this to you, and even if you're not new, I want to just show you a few pictures. Last week, I talked about what had happened 2 weeks ago on several of our campuses, but this took place last week in Elkton at our East Rock campus. We have four campuses that meet. Two English-speaking here. At 12 o'clock, Esperanza Viva meets. We have a Spanish-speaking campus that meets in Waynesboro and another English-speaking campus that meets in Elkton. Last week, they had over 200 people in their first two services, and then they took a chunk of them and went to what you're looking at, the Shenandoah River, to have baptism. They baptized 16 people last Sunday after their services. Yeah. So you're looking at some of those pictures. That's Pastor Jared and Pastor Terry, and I love the joy and the excitement of some of those folks that are getting out of the water. 25 people have been baptized through three of our campuses in the last essentially 2 weeks. I mean, that's a huge praise. We're going to combine at the end of September the first and second service, and we're going to have a baptism celebration. You'll be getting more information about that at the end of September. Today, we continue in week three of the sermon series, The Keys of John. John is a different writer, I told you last week, in that John was one of, maybe the one that he would say, was Jesus's bestie. There were 12 that Jesus chose. Then there was a group of three, Peter, James, and John. And John, in his own book, would say to us, not necessarily bragging, but he would say, I was his favorite. And John would say, the reason that I wrote these things to you, the reason that I write them in the way that I write them to you, is because I was present for all of this. I didn't have to go ask someone else what happened. What did Jesus do? I heard he did this. John writes it to us and says, the reason that you can believe it is, I saw it. You have to just decide for yourself, do we actually believe that? The question that came out of this series while we're looking at this is simply this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And Jesus gives a look, John does it through his writing, at himself with different statements. There are seven signs, miracles. There are seven I am statements. And so in week one, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Billy shared here and he said, Jesus is the Son of God. That was week one. And it comes right out of John chapter 1. And if you can get John chapter 1, the rest of the book makes sense. Just like the beginning of the Beverly Hillbillies or the A-Team theme. Y'all remember that? I'm not going to sing either. Okay? The real question is, who is Jesus to you? That's really what it is. Week number 2, I said that Jesus, through the story of Lazarus, he is, and he says it to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. But he also answers the question and says to us, I am love. And the reason that I showed up and the reason I did this for Mary and for Martha and for Lazarus is because I love them. And I love you in the same way that I love them. Week number three brings us to this week. Don't lose me yet. Some of the pictures that I show will hopefully keep your attention here in just a second. In answering the question, John says one word 98 times in his book. 98 different times John says the word believe. And he wants us to believe. So what do you want us to believe, John? We want you to believe, C-O-T-N, in the middle or the end of the summer, that Jesus loves you. And I want you to believe that he is the resurrection and the life. And I want you to believe that he is the bread of life. And I want you to... But listen to me, it's not just enough that you believe. Because guess what Scripture tells us? The demons believe. So it isn't just enough to believe. What is it that you believe? Who is Jesus? And is what you believe about him, would it change your life? So I want to ask you something as we start today before we get into John chapter 8. Have you ever gotten caught? Have you ever got caught? What was the last thing? Now, not that we're going to spend the next 15 minutes in your mind ruminating on this. What's the last thing you got caught doing? Now, this is kind of funny, and it's kind of simple, and it's, yeah, well, and it's funny because just this week I had a few people tell me about different stories with their kids or their grandkids where this exact scenario played out, where they had either chocolate cake or something on their face which gave away that they got caught eating something that they weren't supposed to eat too early. So this is a funny one. So we look at this and we kind of laugh, but how about this picture? When you Google people who got caught, this is at the top of the list. This is not a political statement, by the way. This just happened to be the leader of the free world, though. The president of the United States was caught. Now, thankfully, I think he and Hillary are in a much better place in their marriage, but he was caught, and everybody knew it. I didn't put the picture up, but if you paid any attention to social media in the last few weeks, there was a couple at a concert, Coldplay, and they got caught. And so before we get into the scripture, you got to understand the gravity of the scripture. We read it and we think, ah, that was a long time ago. But I want you to put yourself in your own place. When's the last time you got caught? And I definitely want you to think about, on the level that some of these folks got caught, how serious it is, how damning it is, how damaging it is to them and to the people around them. This isn't just some story in John chapter 8, and well, we've heard this before, Kevin. Getting caught is serious. And depending on whether it's a cookie jar or your marriage, I understand that those are two different levels, but this is major what we're about to read here today. We're in John chapter 8. I want you just to, before we get to John 8, look at this. I can't believe we actually have this. This is a map that tells us the country with the most percentage of cheaters. What do you think is interesting about what you're looking at? You don't have to answer it out loud. You don't have to be a mathematician. We're the worst, apparently. We apparently have more cheating going on in our country than anywhere else in the world. We even have a show that people will watch. Guess what the name of it is? Cheaters. And it's popular. Oh, boy. It's not real loud yet. Nobody's saying amen or John chapter 8. That was a joke. John chapter 8, here we go, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all of the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. In that time, a teacher sat down, everybody else stood up. I should have had y'all just stand up while I do this for the next 20 minutes, and I'll sit down and relax. Now, you'll notice if you're an educator, we just had two of them on our platform, that you don't typically, you should never start a sentence with the word but. It's a conjunction. So in the very first word, in the very first sentence, they've made a mistake here, and they've started a sentence with but. We know that connects us to what happened before. I want to show you a picture. What had happened right before in chapter 7 is this was the Feast of Tabernacles. So the Feast of Tabernacles has happened, and now Jesus, it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. All of these other people went to different places coming out of chapter 7. I want you just to get a grasp. Look at the number of people at the Wailing Wall. This is during the week of Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this isn't the main thing that happens. Every Jewish male, age 21 and older, there are many Jewish festivals and things that they should honor, but there are three that you cannot miss. This is one of them. They still celebrate this festival today. The next picture is a picture of a family in their backyard recently who is a Jewish family that is still celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. I talked to a friend of mine this week, and I said, when you've been to Israel, have they ever had this while you were there? He said, yes. In fact, one night, I came down at the hotel. I looked out my window, and I just saw all these fires around the city and all these people gathered in backyards. And he said, and I went down, and I said to the person, hey, what's going on here? Is everything okay? And they said, oh, yeah, this is Feast of Tabernacles week. So it's for 7 to 8 days where we celebrate and we look back on God saving us, redeeming us, providing for us. And it's the reminder as they go into their backyards, not just to eat. Some of them will literally stay there for 8 nights. And they're reminded that God brought us out. We don't need the things of this world. So all of these thousands and thousands of people have gathered. And that's the scene that Jesus walks into. He goes back to the temple. They've tried to get mad at him and stone him and do all kinds of things. He walks back in there, and then the rest of this scene unfolds. Here it is. There's three words that I'm going to give you today. And the first word is, are you listening? Posture. I'm going to make it real easy for you. It's actually only two words, but I'm going to give you one of the words twice. Posture. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand. Posture. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, teacher, which is interesting because they've at least acknowledged him as teacher. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Hold that slide. I'm wondering in this room, it's happened to me. Speeding ticket. Go to court. And what do I do when it's my turn and they call my name? I go and I sit before the judge. Stand. In fact, it's the last thing that happens in every court case. You may stand now as the judge sits and presides over your case and then gives the verdict, here's what's about to happen. So here's Jesus. There's thousands of people around, not just a few, not just his disciples. It's Feast of Tabernacles. He's at the synagogue, and he's teaching, and they bring, the religious leaders, this woman to him, and they stand her in front of him. Posture. What does the Old Testament scripture say? Here they are. If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Here's the next scripture. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Now, every woman in the room already knows this story probably, and you definitely are sitting here going, this is ridiculous, where's the dude? We got the woman here, where is the man? And according to this scripture, and Jesus knew these scriptures, he knew what the law was, and they bring this whole thing, it's a setup. She's a commodity, see? She's not really a person to them. John chapter 8, verse 6, they were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down. Posture. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. We have the posture of a woman who's standing. Jesus was already probably sitting and teaching, as scripture tells us that. That's what they normally did as a rabbi. But now Jesus gets lower. He changes his posture. Here's the three words, ready? I bet you don't forget them. Posture, we have a problem, we have a posture. Kevin, two of those words are the same. I know, it's on purpose. Posture, problem, posture. Stay with those. Here's a picture of what they think this might have looked like. The woman has come. They probably threw her there, but then they probably stood her up and said, stand in front of Jesus. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up, changed his posture, and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin begin to throw the first stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So Jesus in verse 6, she's standing, he changes his posture, he writes on the ground. Jesus in verse 7 says, to all that have assembled, anybody here who doesn't have any sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And in verse 8, he stoops down again. Verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up, posture again, and he asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? We got a lot of different people in this story that are changing their posture. I'm wondering, as you're listening, what was the posture of the men who brought this woman to Jesus? What was the posture of the people who were standing around as this whole scene unfolds? We already know what her posture was, and we know what Jesus's posture is. He's changed it multiple times in this story. Now, the truth is, everybody wants to know this, and I've read and read and read and listened and listened and listened, and no one seems to have a good explanation for what did Jesus write in the ground? Did he write their names, the guys that brought her? Did he write their sins, the people who brought her? What is it that he wrote in the ground? I don't know why. John gives us lots of details. He doesn't give us that one. But this much we know. The next thing they hear is a bunch of rocks dropping, and the older ones leave first. It's amazing he gives us that detail. Wonder why the older ones left first. We could speculate about that all day and night. But one at a time, these people leave. Verse 11. Has no one condemned you? And she replies, no one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Pause. I want to make this very clear. This isn't Jesus saying in this moment, have any of you ever sinned? That's not what he's saying. And he doesn't come back at the end of this story after he does this, says this, reveals this to them to say to her, listen, I know you got caught doing this. Please don't do this again. But probably you're going to sin again. Probably you're going to fall into you might even do this again, but I'd rather you didn't. Do you notice what he says? He says, go now and leave your life of sin. He doesn't say, don't do this sin anymore. He says, leave your life of sin. You're probably going to struggle with this, and it'll be okay. And in just a few weeks, I'm going to die on a cross so that you'll have some power over sin, but not full power over sin. Go and leave your life of sin. Listen to what he says later in John chapter 20. You've heard this verse before. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. in the presence of his disciples. But these things, these are written that you, who's the you? You! The disciples were already there. John was already there. The other people were already there. These things are written that you, C-O-T-N, may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Who is Jesus? Jesus is love. Who is Jesus to you? I'm telling you right now who Jesus is. He's different things to different people at different times. But in this story, Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus is forgiveness. He is the Son of God. He is the resurrection and the life. He is love. But Jesus is forgiveness. How about this picture? As we think to a more modern, not biblical story. Most of you sitting in this room is my guess. In particular, if you went to public school, you were required to read Nathaniel Hawthorne's book, written in the 1800s about a society, a Puritan society in the 1700s. And there was a girl, there was a character in this book, and her name was Prynne Hester. And Prynne, in this Puritan society, gets pregnant. She has an adulterous affair. And the whole book is this journey throughout this Puritan, very critical, very pious, self-righteous society. It's not that you shouldn't have rules. It's not that you shouldn't obey certain things. But what this girl deals with throughout the whole moving of this book is people who want to judge her and think certain things about her. So much so that they require her to put a big, giant red A on her dress. What does the A stand for? Adulterer. And we come to find out in this book, it is the minister who actually impregnated her. And the minister was pretty much a jerk in the book, for lack of better words. This lady deals with having a child who is wild, and this walking around this whole book with the shame of wearing a letter A. Can you imagine if we did that now? If we all were required to just put on the sin that just has wrecked us time and time again and put the letter on our dress or on our shirt or whatever, and we just walked around in society with that. And we have a Savior who's the Son of God who says in this story, I am forgiveness. That is who I am. And maybe somebody here needed this morning to be reminded that Jesus is forgiveness. I'm almost done. A scripture in Revelation chapter 12. Listen to me now. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. You guys sitting in church, especially the 9 o'clock crowd, because you come almost every week no matter what. You've been in church a long time, most of you. I'm just checking to see if y'all are still with me. Guess what Satan's one of his names is? He's the accuser. So they bring this woman, and they want Jesus to accuse, even though they're accusing Jesus. Have you ever had a situation in a court where you go and you present, let's say it's a speeding ticket, not that I would know. And you go and you give and you place the speeding ticket. You know, you stand in front of the judge and the judge says, and you just say, look, I'm guilty. But if the police officer isn't there, guess what the judge often does? Well, you're free to go. You mean I don't have to pay this? Nope. You know why? There's no accuser present. Have you made the connection? This woman comes. Caught. More than a speeding ticket. And they stand her. And they say, hey, you've been caught. But there's no accuser. There's only Jesus who is forgiveness. I want to tie two pieces to this story before I show you a quick clip. This story is actually tied to Exodus. What do you mean? In verse 6 and verse 8, it says Jesus changed his posture twice. In Exodus 19, Moses is about to get the Ten Commandments. Are you still listening? And Moses is asked, get the people ready, get their hands clean, tell them to wash their clothes. I'm going to call you up on the mountain. And it says, the Lord came down. Now follow me, Exodus 31. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the covenant of the law, the tablets of stone, listen, inscribed by the Lord's finger. Moses walks out of Exodus 31. He goes down, and guess what's happening at the bottom of Mount Sinai? It is Mardi Gras on steroids. People are acting buck wild down there. There is partying, there's drinking, there's all kinds of wild stuff going on, and Moses loses it. And guess what he does? The tablets are broken. God is pretty upset about this whole thing. And Moses, the precursor to Jesus, not just because he has five letters in his name, Moses in the Old Testament goes before them and he says, don't you blot their name out, God. I'm going to lead them out of here. I promise you, just help me, empower me to do this. So guess what he does? A second time, Moses has to go up the mountain and the Lord came down again. And here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were like on the first tablets. Be ready in the morning when you come up the mountain. Present yourself to me on the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain, not even the flocks and the herds may graze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones. He went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord asked him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. And the Lord, for the second time, came down. The second time. And the Lord came down in the cloud, and he stood there with him, and he proclaimed his name. There's one other thing before you watch this. Listen to me, friends. There is no Jewish man that would ever bow in the presence of God. Of a female. And in verse 6 and in verse 8, Jesus, the Son of God, does it twice, and he's the ultimate rabbi. And he doesn't just say with his words, woman, listen to me, you're good with me, and you're good, just go leave your life of sin. He demonstrates it in his actions. He bows down twice, and he writes on the ground to indicate to them, this lady is good. And all he says to her is, where are your accusers? Go and leave your life of sin. Wow. This is not the same scene, but it's the same heavy weightiness. This is Jesus and Mary Magdalene. She's already been forgiven once. She's messed up again. And she comes back to Jesus in shame. Watch what happens.
So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you. How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. The Father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then the best part. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Maybe you came this morning and you are in need of this type of forgiveness. Maybe you just need to be reminded this is who Jesus is. But there might be some who sit here, and the truth be told, it's not about you receiving forgiveness. It's about you extending this type of forgiveness. And I'm wondering if there's anybody in the room, you don't have to say it out loud, and nobody's going to know, if you would struggle, if it would rub you the wrong way with saying, I just got to be honest with you, man. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way that he just let her off like that. And really the question is, in your posture, does your posture resemble the person you say you have sold your life out to believe in? Who is it that needs that kind of forgiveness from you? No. You can't claim to be Christian. You can't claim to be a sold out Jesus follower and only accept this without extending it to other people. You can't. So today, stand with me. I want to give you an opportunity. It might seem like a kind of simple, silly exercise. But probably many of you, when you were a kid, you had Etch-a-Sketches. We don't have any Etch-a-Sketches here today, but we do have six different tables all across the room. And they have pans on them, and they have sand in them. And maybe today, as we close and we sing this final song, maybe just symbolically, you need to go to a pan and you need to take your finger. I know your finger isn't the hand of God. And you need to write in the sand what it is that you're struggling with, the forgiveness that you need to receive. Maybe it's a name of a person. You need to just write in the sand and then just Etch-a-Sketch it out of there and move on. And trust that the Lord is going to help you. Because only he can offer this kind of forgiveness. Nobody's going to see what you wrote. Nobody's going to be able to read it anyway. This is going to take you back to the elementary days when you drew your finger in the sand. But today, maybe you need that kind of forgiveness. Maybe you need to offer that type of forgiveness. And for goodness sake, if Jesus, the Son of God, could get down in the presence of an adulteress and change his posture, how about us? What's the posture of your heart? What's the posture that you would like him to change in you? Before we move, I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, I don't know who needs to put their finger in some sand today to symbolically say, Lord, would you help me receive this and extend this? And when I walk away from here, be done with this and leave this with you. Speak, Holy Spirit. We are trusting you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Don't hesitate if he's talking to you.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.